Little Hayes Carl, he's going to be in town.
At the Rev Room late October sometime, I think.
Yeah, sometime in late October. He's a Hendrix College man.
He sure is. And I love that song because it mentions both my hometowns.
Seattle
and Little Rock.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
He makes good music. That's a he's a fun show to go see.
Oh, always.
And
the last time I saw him, it was when he was getting all of the national buzz for She Left Me for Jesus, which was the Americana single of the year like 2 years ago.
And there's nothing – put everything in your back pocket for right now. The song's funny.
Oh, it's
And the video's even more funny or funnier.
Yeah.
And he's just a great songwriter with a great sort of perspective. And
but when he came to Little Rock to do his show when all that was going on, he didn't play it because he knew he didn't have to.
Yeah,
we just wanted the songs that we liked that not everyone knew, and of course he played all
that. He's got his shtick down now.
Yeah,
and what I guess loosely the character in that horrific Gwyneth Paltrow
Country Strong,
yes, loosely based on Hayes Carl as well. All right, there you go. Shoot off a gun. Do you care, Matt, here in studio with Matt DeCampo, Sunday Buzz favorite, do you care now that women have the right to vote in Saudi Arabia? As granted today by King Abdullah.
Well, that's... That brings, I think, a broader question about Saudi Arabian elections as to whether or not
exactly.
I care about the fact that women can vote in them now.
Do you think, right, because, first of all, I didn't even know they had elections in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it might be perfunctory.
And I don't know. Yeah. If you're elected the president of Saudi Arabia,
what do you get to
what
do?
What do you actually – would you be more powerful if you were the HUD secretary in the United States?
Or is it like the student body president, basically, of Saudi Arabia?
Exactly. Because you're not going to get out there and cause a big stir and oppose the royal family or anything like that because you'll disappear.
Yes, you will.
So – if you're a woman in Saudi Arabia, is it really that big a deal? It's like, nah, whatever. It's hot, and I've got to.
I'm sure they'll take what they can get out that way.
Oh, don't you think? What nation would it be the worst nation to be a woman in? Afghanistan? Because the Taliban are coming back, baby.
Yeah. Well, it's not a really good time to be anybody in Afghanistan.
Malaysia? Any one of those Indonesian nations over there? That can't be good if you're a woman.
Well,
yeesh.
Maybe.
Saudi Arabia's pretty bad.
Indonesia, by the way, crossword puzzle reminded me the other day, fourth most populous nation in the world.
Yes.
And
they're on top of one another.
We hear nothing about it.
No.
Never in the news.
No, they're the Pac-12 of
hey now.
Of
hey
now.
Let's
they're on the West Coast. They play their games real late at night.
Tell me about
There's
it.
There's an East Coast media bias.
Yep.
Indonesia's the Pac-12 of populous nations.
I don't know what Utah and Colorado were thinking wanting to get into that with us, but bless them for doing so.
Why is that? Those are huge media markets. I mean, the opportunity there. Well, okay, let's talk about college sports realignment, because isn't it more now about media markets than it is about anything else?
Well,
the rivalries or anything else.
Yeah, I mean, look, all of the big, you know, hullabaloo going on in the Big 12 is over what? It's over Texas's TV contract. I mean, it's not over the teams or the schools or the It's about a TV. Yeah, and that's what it's rapidly becoming about the past 4 or 5 years, I think.
And that's my friend Stas Norsworthy, I think, has a great point on that. That with Title IX and the necessity for there to be equity in funding of men and women's sports at a university, that you've got to have the football teams must generate so much revenue.
Yeah.
That it has there's enough revenue there to prop up the women's sports, who no one goes to. And let's face it, there are only two sports: men's basketball and football. And you know, at Arkansas, the baseball team breaks even.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everything else, golf, tennis, men's, women's, whatever it might be, swimming, you name it, they lose money. They lose money. So you've got to have big revenue to...
Well, and beyond that, you need to have an almost NFL-quality stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to pay for some major renovations and facilities, or else you can't recruit. And
yes.
That bar goes oh so high or oh so fast, I think, that it's...
The arms race in college football specifically mm-hmm. has gotten so intense that I don't know. I think we're at a point now where if you're the SEC, okay, and you're looking at obviously A&M because they bring the Houston media market.
Yeah.
And then you go and you get a Missouri because they bring both the St. Louis and Kansas City media markets to a degree with them. Okay, that gives you a footprint. Then where do you move to on the east side of things, on the East Coast? You've got... This is where I think the SEC might... We might be trapped as a conference in terms of expansion because there's not really... Because the Pac-12, they're going to get Oklahoma and Texas.
Right.
Dip into the Midwest.
Well, and the big markets on the East Coast don't really have as much to hang their college football hat on as do the South and the Midwest and, in some years, the West.
Yeah.
You just don't have those... I mean, you know, you've got like Virginia Tech, who's good nearly every year, but who's going to get excited about that? And I mean, who really in D.C. gets that fired up over?
They don't have a media market.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, they claim that Washington is their media market, but in reality, they're sort of third tier down. I mean, the Maryland uniforms get more coverage in the Washington Post.
They are leftover costumes from medieval times, from the restaurant.
It did look like... Exactly. It looked like the jousting knights.
Yes.
While you're trying to eat your chicken breast.
Yeah. And I do not take credit for that observation, but as soon as I heard it, that's all I can see now.
Yes.
I see Maryland on the field.
And that's because they mimic the Maryland state flag.
Yeah. I understand the concept behind it. The execution, though, is a little...
Is that kind of the... Is that... Okay. Let me ask you this. What has changed more in the college game today, the rules or the uniforms?
Oh, I think it's got to be the uniforms.
I say yes. I'm with you on the uniforms because I look at that. It's all now about. It's not that your high school kid is going to go out and buy an Oklahoma State gray helmet.
Yeah.
But it is a way for Nike and Under Armour et al. To show the new generation of technology that's going into all these things.
Yeah.
In my day, you just put on an old cotton jersey and ran out there,
Didn't even have a face mask.
You
just
remember,
ran into somebody.
You're old enough to remember the tearaway jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that's where Nike ought to be headed.
Yeah.
Is there was nothing cooler than to watch a running back, an old Earl Campbell, when his jersey was torn and he's running out there and the tearaway jersey. Major Ogilvy at Alabama with the tearaway jersey.
Bring them all back.
And they all look like Captain Kirk in an episode where he gets his shirt ripped and he's fighting some evil monster. And they all look like that. They look like gladiators.
Yeah.
That's where Nike ought to be headed.
Yeah, I mean, because they were just the mesh.
Yes.
And they looked like the back of a trucker hat over the entire torso.
Exactly. And it would just fall off. Yeah. Like one guy could just touch your jersey and it would come off completely.
And for some reason, I can't even name one player to play for him. I always envision like the 1979 Buccaneers. Those white and orange.
Ricky Bell.
Yeah.
Ricky Bell, yeah.
There you go.
That was the team where their coach, the late John McKay, was once asked a question in a post-game press conference. Coach, what did you think today about what about your team's execution?
Mm-hmm.
And McKay very famously replied, I'm for it.
Yeah. And even, I mean, the pressure on uniforms. I was at the Arkansas State UCA game yesterday. And Arkansas State, not, of course, a big budget college, and staying with some very simple themes, but it was their fourth game of the year, and they had their fourth different look.
Right, exactly.
In four games.
Exactly.
And it worked. I mean, and it was... There's at least, it's black and red, so it's tough to, it's tough to get too crazy with that. They're not going to go all Maryland. They're not going to wear the Arkansas flag.
All in kind of a bizarre,
Yeah, anything like that. But, I mean, even at the Sun Belt Conference level, which is, one of your mid-majors, I mean, they're feeling it there, too. It's you got to have a new look all the time. There's not a classic standard look with a few exceptions. Alabama being a good example, I think.
Is that, in other words, for programs that don't have deep tradition,
mm-hmm.
Maryland, Oregon,
or
whatever, the uniform, the changes, the old Pittsburgh Pirate multiple variations of the uniform, what kind of uniform are they going to wear and all that, that's become their tradition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas at Alabama or Penn State, it's just going to be what it is.
Or
that's
the Yankees.
Texas to a degree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can't imagine, because now Nike takes over next year in the NFL.
Right.
And like I said, it's not about some kid who's going to go out and buy an Ohio State gray helmet.
No.
But it's the next generation of technology. I've got to have that.
We want to show you the whole catalog. I mean, imagine Walter Payton in like four different jerseys in 4 weeks.
Doesn't it? I mean, I hate to sound like the old coot who's, you know.
Kids these days.
Right, exactly. Like I said, in my day, we just put an old cotton jersey on and ran out there.
And off we go.
So, okay, Rex Nelson is in studio. Rex predicted very famously that Arkansas would win yesterday.
No, I didn't.
Oh, late breaking news, by the way. Yes. The woman trying to swim from Cuba to Florida again.
Diana Nyad?
She's quit again after receiving two jellyfish stings. I can't make this up.
Is that like a shot? Is that like a Jaeger bomb?
Maybe.
Give me two jellyfish stings. Well, what's okay? And I do not mean to sound callous when I say this. So Diana Nyad does something that about 50 Cubans have already done.
I don't know. I should have consulted on the jellyfish, I guess, before she went in the water.
How? Yeah. I just don't see why. You know, because again, isn't there a really skinny guy or girl in Miami that says, yeah, I did that 5 years ago. What's the big deal? We got to hit a break. Rex Nelson is in studio. We will go inside the numbers, as brutal as they are.
Breaking news. Harry King has requested his name be taken off the segment this week. Internal bookkeeping here.
We may just go no sponsor.
That's right. No, Harry doesn't want his name associated anywhere with these numbers.
I don't blame him. Stay with us. Back with more after this.